Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks so much for joining us. This past Sunday, we were in Job 28, and Job starts off with the way in which mankind pursues that which we deem and understand to be valuable. I'll start off with verses 1 through 4. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold that they refine. Iron is taken out of the earth, and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness and searches out the farthest limit. The ore in gloom and deep darkness, he opens shafts in a valley away from where anyone lives. They're forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. I really appreciate the way in which Job calls out our sort of ingenious efforts. You know, we dig a shaft into the ground, and we can get ourselves down there. We can light the way. We can put an end to darkness. We'll go to any extent to find something which we view as valuable. I think it's in verse 11. He talks about damming up the streams. We think there's something valuable on the riverbed, and we'll stop the flow of water. And then in verse 12, he says this: "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" And so, in this transition, I think what Job is doing is he's talking about the way in which we have a tremendous amount of knowledge. So again, we'll rappel down a mine shaft. We will block the flow of water. And when you translate that in today, in my message I talked about, I've just been so fascinated by container ships. Somebody asked me why, and my first response is, have you ever seen one? You just are confronted with the sheer mass of a container ship. So the largest ones owned by a company called Evergreen, it's a Taiwanese company, 24,000 TEUs, which is like 20-foot containers. I'm going to get nerdy for you on a second, for a second here. 20-foot containers. Each container can hold, doesn't mean they always do, but of course can hold up to 37,000 pounds each. So if you get a ship with 24,000 containers holding 37,000 pounds, that's like 1.1 something billion pounds. Absolutely insane, and it's floating on the water. All that to say, human beings, we have absolutely incredible knowledge. Like, God has allowed us to figure out insane things. And yet, verse 12 says, "But where shall wisdom be found?" Verse 15, it says, "It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in gold or ophir and precious onyx or sapphire." Verse 20, "From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding?" And so we get this tension between, look, we have incredible knowledge, but having incredible knowledge does not mean you have wisdom. And eventually then he says this, speaking of wisdom and answering the question, where is it that wisdom can be found? Verse 23, "God understands the way to it, and he knows its place." Finally, verse 28, "And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." And so wisdom is not a treasure to be unearthed. It is not a product to be purchased. Wisdom is ultimately found in a fear of God. And so the question then becomes, do you fear the Lord? And what does that even mean? There's several different ways in which we could explain that. I went and looked up some of the original language, and there's a few words associated with fear of the Lord. There's fear in the sense of like a scared of. There's fear in the sense of a reverence. There's fear in the sense of an awe. And I think we need to have a right fear of the Lord. We need to understand that God is holy, that he is set apart. We need to understand and see passages like Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, where Isaiah, the great prophet, sees a vision of the Lord seated on his throne, and his first response is not, "Oh, hey, God, it's woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips." Isaiah sees God and thinks he's going to die. He's terrified. I think of Exodus chapter 20. After God gives the Ten Commandments and his voice continues to boom and the mountain shakes and there's lightning and peals of thunder, and the people say, look, Moses, you talk to him. We're not going to talk to him lest we die. There's an absolute terror. And I want to balance that. But we also need to understand that, like, look, God is holy. Like, he's not one to be trifled with. And the thing about understanding the holiness and the powerful nature of God is the more we understand God's holiness, I think the more we'll be confronted with our sinfulness. If we have a very light view of God, we'll therefore then have a very light view of our sin, because it's the holiness of God that confronts us with the extent of our sinfulness. God gave the Ten Commandments not solely to define the relationship. Yes, that's part of what he was doing, but in giving the Ten Commandments, he was also giving Israel a standard by which they would never attain, and which through the failure of reaching that standard, they would realize their own sinfulness. And so, do you fear the Lord in the sense of, do you have a right wonder at the holiness of God? And then that shifts to a reverence in response to the holiness of God, and understanding that this terrifying God has loved us so much, not to destroy us, but to save us through faith in Christ, that he embodied flesh, divinity wrapped in humanity. He lived and died for us, proving that he desired us to be close to him. That should lead us to a reverence, a life change in response to the grace that's been extended to us, which couples then with just an awe of who he is, that this powerful, wonderful, holy God would love us enough to die and to live and to invite us into a relationship with him, in which he then sends his holy, holy Spirit to dwell within us. Just amazing, incredible stuff. And so we saw that in Job 28, and to me it was just an encouragement, and it caused me to ask, do I pursue knowledge? Or do I fear the Lord? And in response to that, does he give me wisdom? I want to pray for you today. I want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast. And I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for your word that it convicts us in so many ways. And so if we haven't had a right fear of you, would you work that in our hearts? Would we see your holiness, your perfection? And would we then be in awe over the fact that you do not just wipe us away in an instant, but you loved us enough to die for us, to live for us, and you invite us into a relationship with you where we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. What an incredible blessing that is. Lord, lead us as we go into our day today. We trust you, we praise you, we thank you, and I come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.